This is Kim Taylor interviewing Ray Jean Walking Eagle at her home in Brockton, Montana, July 17, 1992. So I'd like to start with just a little bit of background information about you, where you were born and raised.
I was born in Wolf Point and raised on the reservation. The majority of my life, probably about 95% of it. And the other 5%, we moved on the relocation program, and the relocation was started by the BIA. My folks went on that and we went to Indiana and California and then back here. It was in the late 50s, early 60s, at least around 60 when we moved back here. And that's here for the
Then you're married?
Mm-hmm.
And you have children?
One daughter. Who will be going to Missoula.
Oh, she will, huh?
Yes.
And your religious affiliation?
Pardon me?
Your religious affiliation?
Christianity,
just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, when did you begin quilting?
When I first started, I was in the 5th grade.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to do a lot of quilting. My mother was a sole supporter because my dad died in 64, so she was left to support I and my sister. And she used to do a lot of sewing, and everything was by hand, and she used to sew the whole star by hand, and everything was done by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we paid our rent, because they didn't have all the general assistance and the welfare programs and all that then. So she used to work hard to provide, so that's when I learned how to quilt first. I used to want to help so bad.
Uh-huh.
So she used to say, go ahead, quilt the little circles. And you know, sometimes when I'd get through, she'd take it apart and redo it.
Uh-huh.
Other times she'd be scrubbing the quilt because my hands would be so dirty.
Uh-huh. But it was pretty good practice, huh?
It was good practice. That's
uh-huh.
where I started.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, that must have been about 69.
Uh-huh.
About 66 when I started quilting. And then in the mid-70s, we went to Bozeman and went into my mother always went to a store where they sold fabric. I mean, it was just a ritual that you go to a store where there's fabric and you buy colors that you don't see anywhere else and different.
You load up.
So we walked into the store and I was just awed at the choice. Fabric, the colors just amazed me. So I asked her, I said, can I borrow some money? She says, what for? And I said, I want to buy some material. For what? And I said, I don't know, just loan me some money. And then I said, I'll make a star quilt. And this was probably in 74, 75. So she gave me, she gave me $15-$20.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought as many colors as I could, came home, and I did. I made my first star quilt, quilted it, and she still has it.
She showed it to me.
Oh, did she?
Yes,
oh,
she did.
Oh, God. I just found out about a week ago she still had it. I was shocked. Because, I mean, do you realize how long ago that was? At least?
It'd be 25 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
And I just kept it up, and that was the first one.
How long did it take you to make your first one?
I worked. It must have took me about a month, mm-hmm. maybe longer, because mm-hmm. I always watched my mother's soul, and she always, the little points where the little diamonds connected had to be just right. Mm-hmm. And I could not do that, and she finally told me there's a trick to it.
Oh.
Or if they didn't lie flat, there's a trick to that too. And so I had to learn all these old tricks from her.
Uh-huh. And did you, were you using a sewing machine then at
I was
this
using,
time?
Yes, okay. I used a sewing machine. I didn't do anything by hand, except corporate.
Why did you want to be a quilter?
I don't know. It was just, I guess it's just, it's just something I grew up with. I saw my mother do all of it. It was just part of her. So I think it was just like almost innate that I had to do it too.
Mm-hmm. And your sister quilts too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she was strong stimulus.
Yes, very,
your mother.
Very. I'm glad it was something constructive.
Does your daughter quilt too?
Mm-hmm.
No, not yet.
No. I don't think she will.
You know, she's not interested.
My daughter grew up with me trying to go to school. So that was the part of me that was stressed all the time. So she's a student.
Well, it's hard to say. It could be something that she discovers in her old age.
Yeah, right.
So when you're making a quilt, do you work by yourself or do you get help with others?
No, I work by myself mm-hmm. from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. And how long does it take you to make a quilt now?
I can make a quilt. I can make a good quilt, huh? Mm-hmm. In 6 hours.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But that's, you know, just sitting down, cutting it out. I've picked up some good techniques, so I've got myself a cutting wheel and a cutting board,
mm-hmm.
which helps, which I'm trying to help make my mother use, because she still cuts hers, you know, with the scissors, and so the cutting board just makes it a lot faster and a lot quicker, but
mm-hmm.
she can't pick on, she said she'll just stick to her old way.
Yeah, she mentioned that when I talked to her.
Am I going to tell you anything she didn't tell you? But
well, no, but see, I'm getting your perspective.
Yes,
it's kind of interesting.
It'll take you a good 4 or 5 hours to cut a quilt out,
mm-hmm.
doing it that way. I can cut the same size quilt out in less than an hour on that cutting board.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, in the time when she's still cutting, I could have a whole star done.
But she does use a sewing machine now.
Yes, yes, yes. Does.
So what is the status of quilters in the community?
What is the status?
Mm-hmm.
Be more specific.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm looking for. Is the quilter, is she respected for the craft that she does?
Mm-hmm.
Within the community, like people in the community will say, oh yeah, she's a good quilter, she's a good quilter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a craft yeah. that's valued.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. You do. I think the finer the job you do, the more you can get competitive about it. You can just do quilts, and you'll always be able to sell them,
mm-hmm.
or somebody will always buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be competitive and try to do better, always striving to do better, and always have that demand.
Mm-hmm. But do you find there's a pretty big demand for quilts?
No, I don't. Not really. I don't, myself, I don't think so. It's just that like all of the quilts I make, they're always ordered.
Uh-huh.
And I always have so many orders that, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep up. But most of the time, I usually work with my mother and my sister, and a couple of times we've gotten like orders for like 30 quilts at a certain price,
uh-huh.
you know, for memorial dinners.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's usually just for the traditional things that you make them for.
Yeah.
And I've sold maybe one or two to non-Indians, and that's
uh-huh.
it. All of the rest of them are, you know, like everybody says, you charge too little, you charge too little. And I know some people, that's the other part you can be competitive on is some people will charge, like for instance, I can make my regular size quilt and charge $175. And somebody else can make the same size quilt and charge $300, you know. And I guess I'm too sensitive to, you know, some of the people that some of the people that give them away, some of the people that give them away can barely afford anything, and yet, you know, they'll give everything to give one away. And so I don't want to charge.
So it's really this whole separate thing from this idea of marketing your quilts, right? Because of the need for the quilts right in the community for the giveaways.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mostly for dinners. Dinners, wakes, feasts, gifts. A lot of times we have physicians and, you know, non-tribal members that come in, and when they leave, they'll never leave here without a star quilt.
Uh-huh. I saw them.
So
I thought Dr. Jones got one. That happened
yes,
while I was here.
Judy, my sister, did that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just kind of right here.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like we all... More so, I think, dinners, people cook them all the time for dinners. Or a lot of times, Judy and Mom will make one, and they'll just go around and somebody says, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy it, you know. I got this coming up, you know, graduation coming up, or, you know.
So they try to make them up ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you work full-time at the tribal
office? Yes, I work full-time.
So how much time do you actually spend quilting?
It used to be too much.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I've probably cut my quilting in half.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, a lot of times I'll say yes to the offers, you know, and I know who I can give the order to that would, be, you know, do a good job.
Uh-huh.
I'm not trying to be boastful or anything, and I don't like, you know, I don't want to brag about it, or, you know, but I try to do a really good job, and that's how I get my orders.
Uh-huh.
You know, I try to make sure the work is good and the quilting is fine. And
uh-huh.
In fact, there's this little, I don't know, maybe she told you this about I got a magazine from a friend of mine in Denver. It's the Smithsonian magazine,
uh-huh.
And then she also sent me, there's another one, the Smithsonian, and there's another magazine, but this was like 4 or 5 years ago, and they were talking about quilts, how quilts are coming back,
uh-huh.
and quality and workmanship is so critical to that, right?
Uh-huh.
And in there they said that, you know, they were talking about the quilting shows, the prizes that are given, and the qualifications that must be met. They have like the fine quilters, do 18 to 24 stitches per inch. Uh-huh. And so when we're quilting, that's always my joke. All right, now, you know,
18 to 20.
Are there 18 to 24 in there? They keep me out real fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're using different criteria for their quilts too. So what kind of materials do you use?
Cotton poly. Uh-huh. Cotton polyester combinations, but right now.
Did you look at my mommy give me?
Oh, I don't think she gave that to you. I think you stole it. I know what it is. She's gonna take it back. Right now, my sister-in-law and I, there's a. She's enrolled here, but she grew up in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And King, go lay down. Go lay down, King. And they have a quilt show and sale at the Heard Museum there.
Uh-huh.
And we've heard, she's told me, and we've heard about the prices,
uh-huh.
You know. And she said, you know, she came back up here and she says, Reggie, you know, I saw some quilts and they're not, you know, not as half as nice as what you do. And she said, you know, they're getting $500, $600, $700 for them. She said, you ought to make some, let's go down. So we thought we'd do it this year. It's been too busy to sew, so our plan is this coming spring. We're going to try and get in there, but we need an artist to get us in. You can't get in there unless you get an artist to
invite you?
Yes.
Huh.
So I've been thinking of all of these quilts and the quilting designs I want to use. And we want to do 100% cotton quilts, right? Because we already have this all figured out because it's hot down there and cotton lets you breathe, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it's also
natural.
It's kind of what people expect.
Right.
And that's what they
right.
want, 100% cotton.
Right. And so she bought material, so she's going to start learning. And she used to come up here and she would come up here and do little sections of quilting for me, just like I said. Okay,
like you started.
Yes. Uh-huh. You got to go interview her because she'll tell you the same story. You can get it from a beginner.
So how many quilts do you think you'll make to take down there?
Oh, I don't know. We said we got to make one to pay for our expenses down there and back, right?
Uh-huh.
And then from there, we didn't care.
Yeah.
Because her mom is there, and she hasn't seen her mom for, she hasn't seen her dad for going on 7 years,
uh-huh.
And she hasn't seen her mom for 3. So we thought we'd inform us to pay for expenses, but just the excitement.
Uh-huh.
Her brother-in-law gets in the museum, gets an invitation to go every year, and he makes jewelry. So we're trying to get him to.
Oh, okay. I was going to say he could maybe
find
a way in.
Yeah. We're hoping so.
Uh-huh.
And,
good.
But anyway, you know, it's just. You enjoy it, though. I wouldn't do it. I don't think a person can do it if you didn't enjoy it. I love to sew. I like to be creative. In fact, you know, when I was growing up, I used to sew a lot of my own clothes. That's how I learned how to sew in the first place, was when I was in the fourth grade. I love to play with dolls and I love to sew. So my uncle bought me my first sewing machine when I was in the fourth grade, and little sections of fabric. So that's how I got started sewing. Then as I grew older, I started sewing my own clothes. And then I always wanted to be in fashion. I wanted to be a fashion designer so bad. Before the silk satin jackets came out, I had that idea in my head like 2 years before they came out. Of course, they think we're going to take 2 years. Then when that happened, I thought, I have it. But I never ever got there. So the quilting part, that's where it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I love to play with the colors. And you know, you make satin quilts, you make taffeta quilts, and then you make the polys and the cottons. The cottons are the easiest to work with.
Uh-huh.
So easy.
But you use all the materials,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice. I love it.
So how do you pick your colors?
I only sew with the colors I like. I shouldn't say only, because if people order something in certain colors, then I'll go and I'll buy the different shades or tones of those colors, and then I'll go from there and set it out.
Uh-huh. So you just match, you start with one color, then you try to match it up with colors that go with it. And that's how you do it.
Or, you know, sometimes I get a lot of, if I make a quilt on my own, I just pick up colors from, I'll look at something. You know, like I made one just off of a crystal and I have in my kitchen window. I took the colors off the ceiling on a bright day. And I made it identical. It took me a while to find the colors exactly, but I did.
But that was your inspiration?
Yes. And then one day I was sitting there looking, just staring out in the middle of nowhere, and I saw this really deep forest green color against brown dirt, and I loved it. I thought, geez, you know, that would be a good quilt color. So I did. But it's really hard to find forest green in fabric color. You can always find brown. And it was a beautiful quilt. And it just, in fact, I think I sold that. I sold that to a guy who came here from Denver. They were going to do some gas exploration here, and his wife wanted to quilt in those colors because they had just recarpeted their house and got in some dark green carpet, and that's what she wanted. So I mailed it to her.
Sold it.
Big sale. But.
So do you use any prints?
I've never used prints. If somebody asked me, I would, you know, but nobody's ever asked me to use prints. Just solid.
So you solid usually color. Just use solid colors.
Yeah. Solid colors.
So do the colors have any particular meaning to you?
No. No, just that I like them. Mm-hmm. But I like the browns, greens, peach colors, more earthy tones.
And what do you think the star symbol means?
I don't know. I don't know how the star ever. I never asked.
Because the reason I ask is because that's. There's a lot of different styles of quilts, but in this area, it's definitely star. The star.
Yes, it is. I don't know. I've often wondered that.
Mm. And how many quilts do you make in a month?
Oh, right now, probably just one.
Uh-huh.
I've got one to make by the end of the month here. A satin one, though, for a wedding gift. And then I've got a baby quilt going. And then we did star jackets.
Star jackets?
Yes. We made just like a regular small star, but very small diamonds. And then filled it in just like you do a regular quilt, and then cut the back of a jacket out of it.
Oh.
That
sounds
And those
good.
Those were really popular.
So you sold those?
Yes. We did that. Oh, wow. What else? I don't know. I never did ask my mother how that came about because this is really neat, but a few months ago, a lady, my mother and I used to live on the other end of the reservation. And this lady came to me one day and she says, my cousin married her brother, and she says, I was digging in all of my old trunks and I found this quilt that your cousin or grandma or somebody made when so-and-so got married. She gave it to me. And I got it back. Turns out that my mother made that, and it has some really nice handwork on it. You know, it's just all kinds of pieces put together. A real patch quilt, but it has all of the embroidery stitches around every piece, and it's got like canvas cotton back. It's never been finished, but I still haven't decided if I what I want to do. But I want a quilt it or something, and then, or I can even just leave it like that. But I want to put it on the frame and hang it in my house.
So what kind of materials is it made of?
It's all different. I should show it to you.
Yeah.
Do you want to go inside?
Yeah.
Oh, I forget. Yep.
So within the family, what kind of occasions would you make a star quilt for a gift?
I think within the family, I don't think any of us have one.
Uh-huh.
They were all given to us. Even my daughter doesn't have one. Uh-huh. She got hers from basketball tournaments. You know, how they go and they give away at the basketball tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
She got both of them. She got two of them, and she got them both at a basketball tournament. That's about it. Eugene, my nephew, got one. My sister's son, he got one. He's from a basketball tournament. Uh-huh. That's about it.
How about the babies?
Oh, the babies always get a star.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's that. You don't even have to think about that. Yeah. They always get one.
Uh-huh. They come home in a star quilt. Mm. Then.
That's the tradition.
Uh huh.
Yeah. We're doing a tribal history booklet, you know, because there's always so many letters or phone calls people, you know, want to know about the reservation. And so we're doing a booklet, and our ex-planner got a photo, and it's called Issue Day for the Assiniboines, and it's got all these ladies walking up to this building to get their rations.
Uh-huh.
And they all, you know, everybody wore a blanket. So I was just sitting there looking at that picture, and I thought, this is why the blanket means so much. Because, you know, nobody thought about something with sleeves on. It was a blanket.
Uh-huh.
And what's a cloak?
Uh-huh. It's basically a blanket.
A blanket,
yeah.
Right. So, and I picked that up from the Bible. You know, he talks about the cloak.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like then I see these women. This is like in 1911.
Uh-huh.
And I saw these women wearing these blankets. And see, then before that, it was what? Hides, robe hides.
Yep, buffalo hides.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And see, so it just got more sophisticated as we went along. And so I figured out my own meaning, you know, of why the quilt.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So how is it used? How is the quilt used today? It's not only something you put on the bed.
Right. It's something you keep locked up in the trunk. I mean, if you get one, you know, you would hang on to it.
So it's quite an honor to receive
yes,
one.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, it is, because, you know, I seldom ever see a quilt, you know, just lying around somewhere. It's just something you don't go into a house and see tossed around either, you know. You're making me think.
Well, these are the kinds of things that I'm interested
in,
too.
Yeah,
yeah. Especially when you're comparing to like the quilt shows and the prices of quilts, and there's just something different that's going on here, and
mm-hmm.
that's what interests me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as the quilts that are going on in Missoula, Montana,
mm-hmm.
and that's what brought me here. Was I was interested in what was going on here with
here.
The quilt.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. You know, you just there's just something about a quilt.
So they're used for ceremonial purposes, you know?
I don't know about that. I've never been involved with that part.
Uh-huh. But funerals. They're used in funerals.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You always have to have a star quote on a frame, though. You definitely have to have star quotes on beasts.
Uh-huh. And is it just used like a backdrop, or how is it used?
No, it's used to cover the casket.
At the feast?
At the funeral. And at the feast, they give them away.
Oh, okay. But this is the feast at a funeral? Or are
these
two separate?
They're two separate things. Mm-hmm. The Sioux have a 1 year from the death, they have a feast, memorial feast.
Okay.
And you have to give away star quotes. And the more, the better. The more, I guess the more you can give away, the more you love somebody. So what's real important to them, it's got to be star quotes.
So they all, at the funeral itself, they'll use a star quote to drape
cover
over the coffin.
Yeah.
And then what will they do with that star quote?
They usually, I've seen some of them just leave them on top, and others fold them up and put them inside. She wants it out of all cotton and something bright, something cheery, like peach colors and whites and pinks and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you asked her, I don't have the slightest idea what she would say, except that she grew up with this. You know, she'll probably say, I don't know, I just gotta have one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so strange. That's what I mean by, you know, you just grow up with it, you do it, and you know, I never even thought about it. It's something you just don't even think about.
Uh-huh.
It's like eating.
Uh-huh. Well, it's become a part of the culture, so you just don't think about it.
The only thing my sister-in-law told me was, Regine, you're going to have to get a real mean tan before we go to Arizona. She said you'll be sitting there selling Sioux star quotes with no hair and a real pale face.
It doesn't quite fit the image.
No, it doesn't. And she's half Sioux and half Papago.
Uh-huh.
And she's real dark, you know, black hair. You know, her hair is growing out now. But I said, so I'm going to sit you there. Say you're Ruth. Her name is Ruth Walking Eagle, right? See your Ray Walking Eagle for a little while. We laugh about it. Yeah. But anyway, we were talking about our ideas the other day. Oh, just yesterday when we were coming home from work, we were just talking about it. And what I want to do is, I know there's some really good artists here. And if I can get somebody to draw me templates, I mean real pictures, and quilt them on the quilts. You know,
like pictures of what?
Whatever they want, like horses, teepees. I want that kind of, and quilt them on them.
So would this be,
not on the star itself, you know, but when you fill the star and you have these big white corners or big corners just plain, you know, and then these halves.
So you're thinking about doing applique in these corners?
Not applique, quilt.
Oh, quilt, the stitching?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Okay, and I get it now.
You know, so we're talking about, I know there's some boys in Fort Camp who when they, even in elementary school used to be some really outstanding artists, just sit there and it was just like nothing. They could sit there and draw these beautiful pictures of Indians and teepees and horses. And I just said, I know I can get, you know, because they live in Fort Kipp and they just sit there all day, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, I could pay them, and they can make a little money, and I could put their work and, you know, give them some credit. And, I don't know, just try to include everybody in it.
Uh-huh.
It's just something fun. It sounds like fun. It's a challenge.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you normally use the fan stitch?
I started out using the fan stitch, mm-hmm. and then And then this, to me, when you do the fan stitch, you cover up the star. You don't get to see the star. I mean, you know, it just does something. It just, because the way the light hits it, you don't see the star. So what I start doing was I start quilting around the star and inside of each diamond. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it just, I mean, it just adds something to that. To the quilt, you just...
So do you just quilt right down the seam then, where the stitching is?
Yes. And then, you know, you, like you have your big diamond, your point, that's what we call it, right? The point. Uh-huh. And you have all the little diamonds in there. Well, you quilt, you end up quilting around each diamond.
Yeah, so that would be quite a bit.
Yes. And, you know, if you look at any other pattern quilt, they're all stitched around the pattern of the quilt.
Yeah.
You know, the star quilt, I always just thought, you know, they're so pretty. And yet, you know, you just don't get to see that full dot, full star by quilting over it like that. So it just helps it to stand out a little more.
So then what do you put in the corners now?
Whatever you want. See, that's where I'm trying to be creative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I usually use straight lines, you know, just straight lines. Sometimes diagonal, sometimes flower, sometimes make a smaller star inside of each of those. And, you know, it's whatever you feel like doing.
Uh-huh.
You get bored doing the same thing all the time, so I just try to...
So where do you set up your quilt?
I usually set it up... That's the other thing. Whenever you quilt, you have to move everybody out.
You need a massive space
yes,
to set it up.
I usually set mine up in the dining room, you know, but that means that everybody has to crawl around, you know. And it's just something that, you know, you just, like my husband, he doesn't even think about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
You just crawl around, you crawl over it or under it or on the side of it, you know. You just, it's something he got used to.
So once you have it set up, do you try to get it quilted as quick as you can?
Yeah, usually the way we do is we all help one another.
Uh-huh.
If one is quilting, you know, everybody comes over and all they ask for is a meal, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you just kind of cook up something, have something going while everybody's quilting, then you take a break and you eat. If they want to go, that's fine, you know, but
uh-huh.
it takes off in a couple hours.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you just try to get it up and down as fast as you can so it doesn't disrupt everybody. Especially when you got kids around. But most of the time, I think most of mine, I do want a hoop. I use a quilting hoop.
Uh-huh.
And it just allows me a little more freedom, you know, to sit where I want and quilt. And,
then did you start from the center and then work out?
I start from the center and work out. And I like that way better because, you know, when you're quilting around those little stars and you're using that pattern stuff, then it's so much easier. To me, it's so much easier to do it that way. Because you can get up closer to it, you know, and see where you go and what you're doing, rather than having to quilt at a distance like this.
Uh-huh.
So I prefer the hoop.
That's what I use, too.
Yeah.
I have a really small house, too.
Yeah.
So do you think there's a greater demand for the star quilt now than there was 10 years ago?
Right now, I would say that by reading the Smithsonian,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Okay.
But as for Indians, there's a lot of people that just want a quilt made by an Indian. You know, when people ask, when people have that motive behind it, I always somehow know, and then I'll have my mother make it. Because I always think if they want a quilt from an Indian, you know, they can buy it from them. You know. And if you want me to explain that, I think, you know, I didn't, I think most of all my life, my mother's
mother and father and them, I think, way when they first start bringing Christianity here. There's a church in Fort Kipp named after her uncle, Radigal Memorial. She was a Radigal. And so there was always Christianity in my family, but some kids, I mean, every time there's a powwow, some kids are always there because that's just where the folks are. Mm-hmm. You know, always, I didn't grow up like that. But my mother did. But when she was married, when she got married and everything, you know, she just, and after she grew up, she just, you know, she goes to all the powwows now. She probably hasn't missed one yet. But one time I took my mother a couple of years ago. To me, it never, you know, it really didn't matter. I mean, I enjoyed going there, but it didn't really, it was no big deal to me. But one summer I took her out there to the Badlands.
So most of your quilting thread is black?
No, I don't have, all I have is white quilting thread. Don't run! But one time I took her out here, and when we got there, when we got to the grounds, and she heard the music and everything, I seen my mother's, her whole countenance change. I can just see this really warm, happy feeling look come over her. And it seemed like all the worries and everything that were here, just in town, were just gone. And I just seen her whole personality change. She felt so comfortable. She felt so comfortable, you know, and then she just started talking about, you know, my mother, you know, my dad, and, you know, Auntie so-and-so and Grandma so-and-so. You know, she just shifted back. Yeah. And it just amazed me. You know, this is only like 2 years ago. But, you know, it just, it made me really think about her, you know, where she's come from. And another story I'll tell you is, they had a reunion for the Brockton High School here about, 3 years ago. Maybe 4 years ago, and it was the first reunion they ever had, and Brockton used to be probably 99% white, and at that time is when they were first, I think the school was built 1913, my mom was one of the first Indian students. When they were having this reunion, it was all white that came. I shouldn't say, yeah, it was all white, you know. And there were a few Indians, and my mother got these letters. I had read these letters for this whole year previous to this reunion. All of her classmates wrote her letters, and she had to respond. And everybody wrote these letters to her. Classmates wrote to her, and they all graduated. She graduated, and they left, and they were doctors and lawyers. It was just awesome what they became, and their kids were all doctors and lawyers, engineers, and we weren't talking school teachers and nurses. And they had such prosperous lives, and she felt so low because
she laughed, you know, her and I, we talked about it, and I says, aren't you excited? You know, I was trying to make her feel really good about this, and I was getting all excited for her, and I couldn't make that excitement come. Mm-hmm. And I finally said, well, how come you're not excited? And she says, Ray, she said, we were just starting to go to school. The Indians were just starting to go to school. She said, these people wouldn't even talk to me. She said, you know, I was treated, you know, really, you know, I was real, because in the letters they described her as being real quiet and shy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were always so quiet, Rita. You were so quiet and shy and always to yourself. And that's because, you know, there was that division there between two cultures. And
mm-hmm.
and you know, she just really, you know, just wasn't accepted yet. And she says, why should I go? You know? And then, you know, finally she overcame that. And then she said, well, I don't know what to write back. She said, you know, shall I write back and tell them that, yeah, my husband and my son were stabbed to death and one sitting in prison and, you know.
Mm.
You know, she had all these real negative things. You know, she had nothing to be really proud of. And, you know, Taurus is old mom, I said, you know, I went to school for a couple of years in Butte at Montana School of Mines and at Colorado School of Mines. And one thing I learned was that some of those degrees are hard-earned.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you have to give a lot to be where they're at. And I said, you have so many other things that are so much more important. You have all of us here. You have your children here. I said, you have your grandchildren and even some great-grandchildren. And I said, we're all right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we're all looking out for one another. And I said, there's so much more in that, you know, than having a $500,000 home or, you know,
yeah.
a Mercedes in your lot. And I said, you got to worry about paying for that stuff.
Yeah.
And I said,
true.
You've got your health, you know. I said, you've got a lot of things, you know, that you can be proud of.
Well, there's even a lot of people with those high-powered jobs that don't even like their jobs.
Exactly.
But they have to go to work.
Right, exactly.
Keep up their style of living.
Right, sure. See, so I was able to tell her all of that, you know. So she went.
Did she have a good time?
Yeah, she did. You know, but you know, I learned some real respect, I guess.
Well, she's a pretty interesting woman. She was the first one that I spoke with. So do you have any funny stories relating to star quilting? Do you have a quilt
yes.
set up?
I have one. She probably told you this. After I made my first one, within that next year or so, I was going to go to Alaska, and so I was going to make quilts to pay for my airline ticket.
Uh-huh.
So I had a couple of friends. I said, yeah, you can make me one, and me one, and me one. So I was busy trying to make these quilts. Well, I didn't know all these tricks she had about
mm-hmm.
filling them in, because you have to fill them in, and you have to cut the fabric out just the right way and fill them in the right way. And, you know, I wanted these little things to match, and they weren't matching. And finally I got past that, and then she showed me how to fill them in. And I got it. I couldn't put it up on a quilting frame, and I couldn't make it lie flat. So I was so disgusted. Finally, I took the quilt. I tripped it off like this, and I said, "That's it. I'm through with this." And I threw it in garbage.
Oh no!
I said, Humphrey can sleep on it. You know, Humphrey was our cat. And I walked out the door. And this is Taffeta, right?
Uh-huh.
I walked out the door, and when I came home. This was real late in the evening, right? And I got up the next morning and I went to work, and when I came home, her and my aunt, her sister,
uh-huh.
They were sitting there and they just about had it quilted. They were almost done with it.
Oh, so they did it.
She picked it out of the garbage. I didn't even know how to put a quilt. That was my problem. You know, there's a certain way you put it up too.
Uh-huh.
So they just about had it quilted, and when I walked in the door, she said, we just about have Humphrey's quilt done.
So after that, you learned how to set it up.
Yes. Oh, but, you know, she reminded me that, you know, we just about have Humphrey's quilt done. I didn't laugh because, you know, first of all, I was kind of surprised they had it done, you know, and put it up, and it was perfect, you know. It was just nothing wrong with it. It's just I didn't know how to do it.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, at this point in time, you probably don't even think about the little tricks because you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
But you had to learn to do those at one time.
Yeah. And now, you know, she, I've had a couple of ladies come and say, you know, I bought one of your quilt tops and it lied so flat when I was going to quilt it. You know, how do you do that? And my mother gets mad at me when I give her secrets away. There was a lady in La Pointe here not too long, well, about a year ago, and then there was then just recently this other lady came, and she said, I'm trying to make a star quilt, and I just can't make it come out, you know. She said, it's driving me crazy. Can you come up to La Pointe? So I went up to she said, I'll pay you. So I said, well, just put the gas in for me, you know, give me the gas money, and I said, I'll come up. And so I got up there, and she had this book. Okay, she had a quilter's book, and it showed you how to make a star quilt. Well, I looked at her quilt at first, you know, before I looked at the book, okay? I looked at her quilt, and I said, oh, no. I said, I can see. I said, you've got this all wrong.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, that's the way so-and-so told me down at the store. You know, she said, there was another Indian lady in one point that she had asked. She told her this, and then the book kind of showed them. And so while she gave me this book, she said, well, the book kind of showed it too, you know. She said, so I looked at this book and I thought, gosh, you know, you mean I have been doing my quilts wrong all these years?
No, I don't think so.
It is not at all what the book says.
Yeah, but you do what works.
But mine works.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have people coming. My mother says, you know, that was something that her mother showed her. Yeah, and so...
The family secret.
Gosh, but anyway.
Well, those are all the questions I really have.
Sure.
Is there anything else that you would like to say about quilting?
No, there's nothing else.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you
for
speaking with me.
Sure.